All right, we are now joined by the winner of the Quaker State 400 at Echo Park Speedway, Ryan Blaney, driver of the number 12 Ford for Team Penske. I'm going to open it up for questions. If you have one, raise your hand, state your name and affiliation. We'll start with Matt Beaver. Oh,
sorry. I just got lost.
Sorry. No, no, sorry. I meant... Oh, okay. Then we'll go to Matt Weaver.
John Newby, Fan Buzz. Two quick questions for you. So first off, the opening stage, a couple drivers compared it to the 550 package and then said second, third stage were more, you know, Gen 7 Atlanta. What was that perspective like behind the wheel with how the track changed throughout the night?
Yeah, it the first stage of the race, it's definitely kind of unlike something we've seen here before. You know, it was pretty warm outside. Places getting worn out. It's strung out a lot. You know, guys were kind of having their hands full that were back in the pack, and they couldn't really stay with the lead pack. And fortunately for us, you know, myself, Joey, and Austin, we were able to kind of get lined up and then string it along and keep good pace to where it was made it really hard for people to keep up if they weren't handling very good. And then the rain came, cooled everything off. Track temp went down, air temp went down, and it just got a lot more grip. You know, when we went back racing after the rain delay, the track had a ton more grip in it, so it was more of a traditional Atlanta race that we've seen. Everyone packed up and cars driving a little bit better, and so that was the unique shift in the race for sure.
And then going back to June 1st of last year, you're the only Ford driver who's won in that stretch. You've won six races. What is it about the 12 team that has been able to be consistent overall over that year-plus stretch?
Well, I have a great group around me. You know, Jonathan Hassler is unbelievable. I'm really fortunate I get to work with him. And then everybody else on this 12 team, from engineers, mechanics, truck drivers, pit crew, they just do an amazing job. Their attitude is always, you know, incredibly high no matter how it's going. They always have confidence that, you know, they can show up at any racetrack and win. So it's just a neat group to be around, and fortunate that most of us have been together for many years, honestly. So, yeah, I mean, I think Jonathan is the number one. It's fun to drive his race cars, you know, and work through things with him when we feel like we need to get better and where do we need to get better in these places. And, you know, yeah, it's nice to, you know, get Ford wins and stuff, but, you know, we want to get Ford many more wins across every other driver, right? So we'll continue to work at that.
Jordan
Bianchi, The Athletic. Tonight seemed kind of open, wide open at times. Guys were, you know, jockeying for position throughout, but you were the constant, and you were able to maintain your position, and you just, your car seemed to be kind of in its own class. What separated you from everyone else?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't ask for a better weekend. Sat on the pole and won both stages and won the race. My car was incredibly fast leading. I could defend moves without having to throw like low percentage blocks. I just never really did that. Some moves are kind of unbeatable to defend as the leader. So I would just let people get to my inside, and if they pass me, great. I think I can probably develop a run to try to get them back. So it led great. It might not have been the best handling car out there. I thought the 23, the 45, the 20, those cars handled really good to where they could be super aggressive in making moves. Now, they weren't as fast leading the race. So that was kind of a fun dynamic of like, my car is really fast, handles a little worse than theirs. Their car handles better, but isn't quite as quick, you know, down the straightaways. So it was fun how all that played out. But, you know, I thought we were well balanced with having speed and, you know, good enough handling to where I could, you know, kind of manage what I needed to and take runs when I needed to and usually be able to clear guys. And then I could go back to managing the lanes. You know, if it was interesting tonight, you know, that's a big part of this is if you're the leader, how do you kind of manage each lane? Do you want to try to keep them two by two behind you? If one guy's broke clear behind you, you know, how do you want to handle that? If two or three are broke clear behind you, that's really hard to defend because they can just lay back and get a big run. So all that stuff is just fun to work through, and our car was fast enough to be able to defend when we needed to and then be aggressive when we needed to.
You are 65, 66 points now out of the championship lead.
Really?
Yes. Wow. So there are not any more intermediate tracks the rest of the way. There's Indianapolis, which obviously is Indianapolis, but there's a bunch of tracks that probably negate the Toyota's advantage on intermediates, right? So knowing that deficit and knowing what's coming ahead with the schedule, do you feel like you can make a run for this championship?
Yeah, maybe. Just keep doing what we're doing. You know, we've done a great job of managing the summer here, trying to get better at the intermediate tracks, you know, and just making decent days out of them where maybe we haven't been able to contend for a top four or five. We just we grind it out and we, you know, scrounge out a top 10 out of it and just get our car better through the night. So I talked earlier, you know, what this group really does well, and that's it. You know, when we don't have a car that maybe can contend for a win and we're off a little bit, we just continue to work on it and just figure out how to get it better. So, yeah, I don't think it's out of the question. We just have to keep doing what we're doing. That surprised me. We were that close. Now we were, gosh, I think before San Diego, I was like 160 out. So it shows you how quick things can kind of ebb and flow. Just got to keep doing what we're doing. Never know if we can get there or not.
Matt.
Matt Weaver, Motorsport.com. Having a good car aside, how much do you really even control, like, your own destiny in those last two restarts? Because it seems like it's, in some ways, it's like a matter of just timing. Like, if you don't, you know, take the lead exactly when you do or when they get the run, like, how much can you really control in that scenario?
Yeah, it's just situational, what things you can control. You know, I said earlier, some runs that guys get, you just can't defend. And I've always had the mindset of just live another day type scenario, of not wanting to throw a crazy block and with a risk of crashing, like the last restart. Bubba gave me a really good push. I got clear down the back, honestly clear by too much, and the top was coming with a head of steam. Like, four cars were hooked up. And I kind of thought about blocking it, but I felt like if I did, I was just going to get run over and probably turned. So I just tried to go with the higher percentage play of just kind of fake it and then just settle in the bottom and hopefully try to make another run in the next lap. And you never know how these things are going to work out. I mean, we've seen races, one here, where the lanes are a certain way, you know, and not a green-white checkered scenario, but lanes are a certain way where the leader can kind of dictate and kind of hop between lanes and keep them two by two. But green, white, checkered scenarios, it's just all what push do you get? And I just got lucky that Christopher came to the rescue to me into three when we were top of three there and was able to get me a push all the way through three and four and then ahead off of turn four. So I hope I can repay the favor to Christopher at some point, because that was a big help to getting us to victory lane. But yeah, some of it you can control. I feel like a lot of it, it's just the way the stars line.
And then another question on the chase for the championship. I don't know that for the obvious contenders, that maybe 10 points will not make the biggest difference in the grand scheme of things. But for you guys, I feel like the margin of error is a little bit tighter than the Toyotas maybe. I don't know if that's fair or not to say. But with that being said, I think it's like 40-something points out to Tyler. Is that a even larger important goal given the margin of error for your team?
I mean, I just like to start with as many points as we can, you know, and if we can get there, great. If not, I'm not going to be bummed about it, because we've cut in a good chunk and we've been having a really good year. So you're going to take as many points as you can get. And you know, that is winning the regular season championship and things like that. So, no, I haven't really put too much thought into it. I just try to keep doing what we're doing. If we get there, that's awesome.
Mike.
Mike Embry, NASCAR.com. Ryan, have you ever had a car this much stronger than the rest of the cars in a field?
Maybe not on this type of racetrack, but there's been some unicorn cars, I call them, out there that I've been able to drive. Martinsville 23, that was a unicorn. 24 was a unicorn. So there's been a few.
You think you'll just stay up the rest of the night now?
Yeah, I don't know. What time is it? Three? Is it 3 o'clock? Probably. My baby's probably got shit in his diaper right now and crying. And maybe when I get home, he'll wake up. I'll probably won't get home till six. Yeah, probably earlier than that. He'll probably be up. He'll probably just be about waking up by the time I get home. So maybe I'll go home, rewatch the end of the race, and then Charlie will be up.
Right behind him.
Michael Massey, French Stretch. Ryan, you talked about letting that line go on in overtime, but how do you develop that patience to be able in a chaotic situation like that where you might not be able to get back to them? How do you develop that patience is it watching film? I guess experience as well. You've raced a lot of these races, but is there anything in particular that's you think has kind of like calmed you down in these situations, right?
Yeah, I mean, I got to be around a lot of really good plate racers when I started. Brad, when I started, Keselowski was great. Got to learn from Joey. I watched a lot of these guys when I was either growing up or when I first started on the Cup side. Dale Jr. was another really good one. And they all had one thing in common is that they were really patient in how they would go about things, And it's easy to get like kind of antsy in these situations because things are happening quick and you want to, but I don't know. I've always, and Denny's talked about this a lot. Denny's one of the best plate racers, I think. And he's always talked about, living to fight another day and being really patient with his moves. And I've just tried to be what is the higher percentage play for me in this position? I don't want to go throw a block that I think has a really high percentage chance of me getting crashed, even if it's at the end of the race. At that point down the backstretch on the restart, we still had a lap and a half to go. So, gosh, I could be in worse spots. I don't want to take a chance of getting turned here because I made a kind of a foolish block if I would have pulled up there when they were going 10 mile an hour faster than me. So let me try to, help is going to come on the bottom. It's going to get there. I just hope it gets there good enough to where we can still, make a run at it. So I think it's just years of racing and experience and things like that of and learning from other people has really kind of made me that way.
Go over here to Roy.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan. Roy Akers, Skyview Sports. Several drivers have come in here over the last few races talking about this being a roll of the dice race, but you talked about you were allowing cars to go past you knowing you could get them back. You saw some of the Toyotas pushing to the front. I saw a lot of great strategy, and it seemed like the drivers were making, as a field, a lot of really smart decisions, and it made for some great racing. Did you see that yourself out there?
Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic race tonight, like seeing through the field and, comers and goers and stuff like that. And, towards the end of the race, everyone's pushing harder and, there were some cautions, but I thought everyone did an awesome job. I'm excited, honestly, to go back and rewatch the race because I feel like it was a really good race. These things are tough. This race in particular is just wild. It's the most, Daytona and Talladega have nothing on this race because it's just a different style of speedway racing. But I thought it was a great event. I thought it was a great showing. This place has put on good shows in the past, and I think they just keep getting better and better as this place gets older and older. You're hanging on a lot more. Yeah.
We'll go to the back and then over here to the left.
Hey, Ryan. I'm Chris Gollin with Above the Yellow Line Media. So as his racing style has been scrutinized a lot lately, can you describe the overtime restart battle with Carson Hocevar, how he got out in front, how you timed the move to reel him in and make the pass for the win?
Yeah, the way that restart played out, honestly, in late race scenarios at this type of racetrack, the choose being the leader is sometimes like a bummer because I hope I choose right. If I choose wrong and lose the lead, that is on me. That happened to me the restart before. And so it was, wherever he chose, I was obviously going to go front row. And I had Bubba behind me on the bottom. And then you're just hoping you get a good push, right? And you want to, curious how their push is going to go. It was great to battle with a lot of guys tonight. I raced the heck out of him, Bubba, Christopher, Tyler. We all had a great battle going on. Larson was up there for a while before he got turned around. We had a great battle going for a lot of the race of swapping positions, But everyone being, you know, super smart at the same time, I thought we showed each other a lot of respect out there between all those guys that are racing at the front most tonight. And yeah, the run we got on him down the front, you know, just kind of played out right to where Bubba and I got hooked up on the bottom. No, they got bottom of three with Shane. And I think the 20 and Bubba, and then both of us kind of broke clear, and Carson was way out there. And we just had a massive run on him, and kind of picked whatever lane was available. He kind of shaded bottom, so I didn't want to kind of get jammed up on the bottom. So I just tried to get to his right rear and was able to do that. So, yeah, those runs are massive. You know, if you get two guys that are hooked up coming at you fast, they're big and they're hard to block. And, you know, he did a good job of not making a kind of a foolish block. He just kind of picked his lane and stayed there. And but, yeah, it was fun racing a bunch of those guys tonight.
And then also quickly, did you have any indication of what happened with Bubba Wallace that got you into the wall, and did it affect your car?
I don't think it affected my car. It was a bunch of wall residue in the wheels. That's what was causing my big vibration. I was happy nothing was bent. But, no, I just had a big run down the front and into one, and he covered top. And I just got in a weird aero spot and got super loose and hit the fence. So, fortunately, it didn't damage anything. But that was just hard racing and people trying to hold the lead.
Thanks, Ryan.
No problem.
Over here to the left, then, Tim.
Oh, me, okay. Deb Williams, Auto Week. Ryan, 2 years ago, the end of the race tonight reminded me of 2 years ago when it was you, Suarez, and Kyle Busch. What did you learn that night that benefited you tonight?
To be on the top. Suarez won it from the top. I won it from the top, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. There's a little different scenarios in that one. You know, I was kind of leading the final handful of laps of that race in 24 and, you know, kind of maybe chose the wrong lane to be in. But that scenario in 24 as well was both lanes were coming at me super quick, and it's either make a dumb block and probably wreck the whole field and myself, or just pick a lane and try to see what happens. And in that scenario, just didn't, we lost by 6 inches, but we were still able to finish really well. And then tonight, you know, it was a little bit different. You know, we kind of had to come from not the lead on the final restart to have a shot at it. But yeah, the top seems to roll off of turn four, and that was, I guess, the differences in that finish and this one. So that tonight's finish makes up a little bit for a couple years ago. I was still a little burnt over that finished a couple years ago, and it was nice to finally win here in this configuration because we've been close a lot.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Right up front to Tim.
Tim Moore, Motorsports Today. Congrats on the win, Ryan. You mentioned earlier, you know, Bell helping you play a big factor there towards the win, but I'm wondering from your perspective, I don't even know if you got to see it, but how much did Bubba's move down the back stretch coming to the inside maybe also help you coming out of turn four?
When he went bottom three?
Yeah, he went below the line and then came back up, and him and Carson got real tight together.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew when Carson and I got side by side into one and through one and two, Bubba was free, right? He was single car. Yeah. And I'm like, he's obviously going to go bottom of three. Like, he's going to try to win the race, which is the right move to make. I didn't know he went below the yellow line.
Yeah, they black flagged him.
No, that sucks. Dang, yeah, I thought he run second. Yeah, so, I mean, he made the right move, right? He gave himself a shot to win. If he shoves either one of us down the back, he has zero shot to win the race. So making the move that he did was his chance to win the race. And, you know, it just worked out for me that kind of help came on the top.
And for Ford 750th win, just talk about how special it is to be a part of that.
Yeah, it's really special to be just a small part of that. You know, they've been incredibly great to me over my career. You know, gosh, been with them since 2013 and when Penske made the switch from Dodge. And they've been great people, been able to really get to know a lot of folks over there, whether it was the racing program or just Ford Motor Company. Jim Farley is a great leader over there at the Ford Motor Company. Mark Rushbrook is fantastic on the Ford racing side, and it's been fun to have success with those folks because they're at the end of the day, they're racers. You know, that's what they, that company was built on. And, you know, to be successful and to win for them and just to add to that success they've had in the Cup Series definitely means a lot.
Any final questions for Ryan? All right, thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.